We begin the current daf of Sechtes Chulin Daf Yud Zayin. Begin 9 lines down at the top of the Yomit, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf, and that is we had this enigmatic statement mentioned in our previous Mishnah that said Hakol Sheichetin Ula Oilem Sheichetin Ubakol Sheichetin. So the Gemara is explaining what these words mean. So the Gemara explained what Hakol Sheichetin means, which ultimately the Gemara will actually retract this interpretation, which says everything requires Shechita, even a bird, not only animals that are specified in the Torah. Then it said, and that we always slaughter. What does that mean? What do you mean we always slaughter? When would we think that you're not going to slaughter? So the Gemara gave two different interpretations, who the time of the Mishnah is, and what is being indicated when it says, first interpretation the Gemara gave from Rabbah is that it's Rabbi Shmuel. And that Rabbi Shmuel had said that bas or taiva, a person's own chulin meat, was actually prohibited in the times of the Midbar when there was the Mishkan. When they came to Eretz Yisrael, then it was permitted for them to have their own meat that wasn't a carbon. Then you would think that now that we're back in the diaspora, back in exile, not in Eretz Yisrael anymore, basar type would be prohibited. They said, no, lo'elam shechetin, you could always, Lord, you could continuously still eat chulin meat, even now, when we're not in Eretz Yisrael anymore. That was one interpretation. Rav Yosef said, no, actually, the Tana of our Mishnah is Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva said that when they were in the Midbar, that actually there was no halach of shechita yet. They were able to do what's called nechira, just tearing open the pipes, just like what you do with a shechita knife, with a slaughtering knife. You're able to do it by hand and just tear it open. And it's only when they came to Eretz Yisrael that it says v'zavachta, that then they had to start slaughtering. So you think now that we're not in Eretz Yisrael anymore because we went to Golas, that then it would go back to the original permissible situation and you don't need to do shechita anymore, you could just do nechira. That's what I said, lo'elam shechita, no, you always have to slaughter even now that we're not in Eretz Yisrael anymore. There's still the halachic requirement of shechita. So now the Gemara says, but my conflict regarding what are they disagreeing? Because these two opinions of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva, not only are they the two different opinions of Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef regarding what's the interpretation of who's the halacha of our Mishnah like regarding when it says lo'elam shechetin, but it's also in the fundamental interpretation of the Pesukim over there in Devarim that talks about when you're going to come to Eretz Yisrael, things are going to be different. What's going to be different? According to Rabbi Shmuel, it's going to be different that you can be able to partake of basar taiva, of a person's own desirable meat, not that it's a carbon. According to Rabbi Kiva, it's going to be that, no, now when you come to Eretz Yisrael, now you're going to have to start slaughtering, you can't just tear it open. So what are they disagreeing about? So Gemara explains. Rabbi Kiva suffered, Rabbi Kiva held, basar taiva lo yitzer klal. He couldn't say like Rabbi Shmuel that, oh, it's because now the basar taiva became permitted. Because he held that in the Midbar, a person's own desirable meat, not a carbon, was not forbidden at all. As Rashi explains all the different sources that we explained in the previous daf, which is like Rabbi Shmuel, he says, the pasuk says, El Pesach El Mayid Lehevi'oi, that if someone gets karas, if he doesn't bring the carbon to the oil mayid, that's not all meat like Rabbi Shmuel was saying, because you had to bring every animal had to be a carbon. No, it means by kadshim. Kadshim that weren't brought, that would be the death penalty, but other chulin were permitted even in the Midbar. Moreover, this says the pasuk in the Devarim Yud-Beis, b'chol avas nafshecha teichel basar, that sounds like, oh, when you get to Eretz Yisrael, like Rabbi Shmuel was saying, then, oh, you could eat to your heart's desire your own basar taiva. That's not coming to tell us that, oh, now when you come to Eretz Yisrael, then basar taiva is permitted. No, that's coming to tell us a different halacha, like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says later on the Pidal Manav. The Torah is teaching you derech eretz, proper conduct, that a person shouldn't eat meat unless he has a desire, but not that basar taiva was forbidden. It's just telling us that lesson. But it was mutter and permitted even in the Midbar. And moreover, when it says, ki yirchak v'zavachta, that when you're going to come to Eretz Yisrael, you're going to be very far from the Beis HaMikdash, and then you could slaughter, that's not coming to say that, oh, up until then you weren't able to slaughter your own meat. It's just coming to say, like Rabbi Kiva, that to the contrary, that now you're forewarned on Shechita when you come to Eretz Yisrael. But not that the basar taiva was forbidden, it was permitted. But they were able to do nechira, which is just tearing it open. Now they have to do it in the proper slaughter type of a way. Now, Rashi just points out, although this pasuk that we're quoting, that's permitting them, that's requiring shechita when they come to Eretz Yisrael, is not talking about a regular chulin animal. It's talking about what's called psuli hamakdashin, a carbon that became invalidated, which gets redeemed through a blemish, as the Gemara explains in Bukhari Tav Lama Bezim and Aleph. Says Rashi, even so, we learn not chulin from there. As the Gemara actually says in the second parak on the Chav Chesem and Aleph over here, that the pasuk is comparing a tzvi and a ayil, a deer and a hart, which are chayis, kosher chayis, to a psuli hamakdashin, which just like psuli hamakdashin requires slaughtering, so too a tzvi and an ayil requires slaughtering, and tzvi and ayil are chulin, because chayis are never karbonis. So we see that the pasuk is equating the chulin to the psuli hamakdashin. So even though the pasuk is talking about psuli hamakdashin, which that's where we learn that the halacha of shechita when they come to Eretz Yisrael, we could still learn out kosher animals of chulin from there. And according to Rabbi Kiva, that's what we're learning out from the Pesukim, but not that Basar Taiva permitted, because it was never forbidden. Whereas Rabbi Shmuel Savar, the flip side of Rabbi Kiva, he has no bus in the Chir Lo Yashti Klal. Just tearing open the pipes of an animal, that was never permitted. And therefore that can't be the reason what it's saying that's now starting once the commentary to Israel. Rather, it's like he says that it's going to be permissible bus or taiva. Now, Rashi addresses the points Rabbi Kiva says for Rabbi Shmuel, although it says in that pasuk when you commentary to Israel that you're going to do Zvicha, which sounds like Rabbi Kiva, that's when the halachas of slaughtering started. So the Bishmol holds, no, that's not because that only started once they came into Eretz Yisrael. It's just normative when the Pasuk's talking about the consumption of meat, which is what, according to Bishmol, the Pasuk is coming to tell you, that now Basar Taiva is permitted. So use the terminology of Zvicha, because that's what it usually says when it's talking about consumption of meat, that you're going to slaughter the animal. Or another interpretation, says Rashi, that the Pasuk is coming to tell you what it says in Becheres of Tezvav Med Aleph. The Gemara there tells us, says, V'zavachta v'yachalti, you'll slaughter and you'll eat. What that tells us is that, like we said, really that primary pasuk is talking about Psuli HaMakdashin. Karbanos that became invalidated. We learn that Chulin from there, it compares it to Tzvi V'Nayil. But that's what the Gemara Bukhari says, that it's telling you that by Psuli HaMakdashin, which were redeemed, the only thing that now becomes permitted, which you could use it for private usage, is only, like the pasuk says, Zvicha and Achila, slaughtering and eating, but not shearing the wool and not working with it. And that's what it's teaching. Not teaching that only now Zvicha started. Zvicha was always there. It's just telling you that Psuli HaMakdashin, what is permitted with it is Zvicha and Achila. Or another interpretation Rashi says for Rabbi Shmuel is that it's coming to tell you that it's forbidden to slaughter chulin, unconsecrated animals, in the Azara. As the Gemara expounds the condition of Nun Zayin Mebeis, it says, Ki Yerchag Bezavachta, when you come to commentate, it's going to be very far from the base of Mikdash, you're going to slaughter, which teaches you that you can only slaughter these unconsecrated animals at a distance from the base of Mikdash, but you can't slaughter it very close, meaning the Azara, that's forbidden. That's what's teaching from Zavachta, but not that Zvicha only started, according to Bishmal, and there it's Israel, because he holds that it was always there, even in the times of the Midbar. So that's a machlekes Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva. That was the two different interpretations in Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef, who is the Tanna of the Mishnah that says, Lo'ilim Shaychet. Now the Gemara goes through their different opinions and asks how each one's going to understand different psukim. Bishlam Rabbi Shmuel, we understand according to Rabbi Shmuel, who said that there was Shechita even in the times of the Midbar. So Haindach said, that's what it says the Pasuk in Midyikra, V'shachar es ben abakar, that they should slaughter the young animal, which is that they're going to bring a carbon. But one thing we see, that pasuk is talking about there in the times of the Midbar, when they were in the desert for the 40 years, that obviously they were commanded regarding slaughtering, as it says there, for the halachas of the oil maid that was in the Midbar, in the Mishkan. But Rabbi Kiva, Mai V'shachar, Rabbi Kiva, why does it say slaughtering? There's no slaughtering for when they were in the Midbar until they came to Eretz Yisrael. So why does it say that they have to slaughter? It says, the Gemara no kachem shani. Rabbi Kiva agrees that for the karbanas, they were different, that there was shechita. But for the regular chulin animals that they had, which yield basar taiva was permitted, then there was no shechita, there was just, you could do nechira. So the Gemara continues asking, Bishlam el Bishmal Haindach Siv, there's a different pasuk in the Midbar, which is not talking about karbanas in the Mishkan, but it's talking about in the times of the Midbar in the desert, which says, Hatzoy nubaki yishachet lehem, let them take their flock and their cattle and slaughter for them, which are regular chulin animals. So it says about slaughtering. So that's good according to Rabbi Shmuel, who says there was slaughtering. El Rabbi Kiva, but according to Rabbi Kiva, Mahat Sang Nabaki Shachlam, what is it saying that they should go and slaughter their flock and their cattle? Yinachalem Ibayle, it should say they should just tear open the Siman. They don't have to do slaughtering according to Rabbi Kiva. So Zigmar, you're right. Nechir Shalehen, Zuhi Shchitasen. Their tearing it was like slaughtering. It says the term Shchita, but in their halachic framework, tearing was Shchita, and therefore that's what it meant when it says slaughtering, means just tearing it. The Gemara continues asking, Bishlam Rabbi Shmuel, Hainditznan, we understand what it says in Mishnah later on the Peheyim and Aleph. It says, Hashaychit v'nisnab l'biyadiv. Someone's slaughtering an animal, and it became a nevela, it became a dead animal carcass, a not properly slaughtered animal during his slaughtering, because either he had nicks in the knife, or he delayed, he paused, or he pressed too hard. He made it into a nevela, not a kosher shechita. Or v'hanoicher, or if someone intentionally goes and does nechira, which the terminology of nechira, Rashi explains, comes from someone who just tears open the length of the animal from its nostrils, which nechira means, and up until the breast of the animal. It just tears it open. Or v'makor, it just tears out the simanim, the two pipes. And we're talking about here a chaya, a wild animal, which requires kisa adam, that its blood has to be covered over, for example, like a tzvi in the aisle. An aisle, not a ram, but as a hart and a deer. Says the Mishnah, but if it wasn't a proper slaughtering, it was Nevelo or Nechiro or Ikur, so then Potem Melchasis, then one is exempt from covering the blood of that chai of that wild animal. Why? Because the Pasuk says, Ashayacha that will be eaten, and then you slaughter that animal, then Meshafach, and you spill the blood, but Kisa, then you have to cover it. What that tells us is that only an animal that it's fit to eat it, that's what the Pasuk is saying, Ashayacha, then that blood you have to cover. But here where you can't eat it, because there was Nevela, then you don't have to cover the blood. Now, as Rashi points out, even according to the Man D'Amar, who says that one is obligated to do Kisa Adam, even when you slaughter an animal and it turns out that it's a treifa and you can't eat it, says Rashi, he would agree with the halacha over here that because ultimately, at least you have to have a shechita. A treifa is it had a mortal defect, but you did a proper shechita. Because, and here you didn't have a shechita, because he delayed, he paused, he did ikor, whatever it is, and because we learn that, gzirisab, shvicha, pouring from shechutei chutz, from when one slaughtered the carbon out of the azara, where there it says shechita, and here it also says shechita, as the Gemara teaches, lein enough peyem and alav, and therefore everyone would agree that you'd be exempt from covering. Now, we understand that Allah according to Rabbi Shmuel, because, yeah, the only thing we ever find that's valid is a shechita. That permits an animal, and only then could you eat. Not shechita, like all these cases. You can't eat it, so it's not viable for eating, so then there's no chiv of kisadam. But El Rabbi Kiva, according to Rabbi Kiva, my potem al-chasas, why are you exempt from covering the blood? Now, the halacha is, the halacha of covering the blood was even in the times when the Jews had already got the Torah at Sinai for those 40 years when they were in the Midbar. Now, according to Rabbi Kiva, as we just explained before, nechirasin haisus shechitasin. He says in the Midbar, they're just tearing out the animal was the same as slaughtering. So therefore, the Gemara is assuming in this question that if someone does nechira even today, should also require kisadam, because we find in the Midbar for the nechira that did kisadam, because that nechira was their shechita. And then it's the Gemara, no, it's still different, because Hail the itzer. Because now, once it became forbidden, we don't have any more our nechira shechita, so then it's forbidden. So it's not going to permit it to be eaten. So it's not ashiyachal, so different, then there is no halacha of kisadam even kontra bekiva. Now the Gemara goes the other way, and says, Bishlam bekiva. You understand the kontra bekiva, the Amma, that he said, Basa taibal itzeklal, there was never a time in history that regular chulin meat was forbidden for a person, even in the Midbar. So that's what it says in Devarim. Ach, kashe ya'achal. The Jewish people were being told when they were in the Midbar. However, now that what you eat now in the Midbar, as a tzvi, as a ayil, just like you eat the deer and the hart, you could eat it even in the state of ritual impurity. Kintachlenu, so you're going to eat your bakar and son, your cattle and your flock when you come to Eretz Yisrael. That although that I'm going to require you to slaughter your chulin animals once you come to Eretz Yisrael, the way Rabbi Kiva understands it, just like you have to slaughter the kachem now in the Midbar. But, however, he was telling him that in this pasuk, you're not going to have to eat your regular animals in the purity like it is by kachem. Rather, you could eat it like the way you eat the deer and the hart right now in the Midbar, where you could eat pure and impure together even on one plate. So you understand, that makes sense according to Rabbi Kiva. Because yes, they were eating busted tive in the Midbar, and they were eating tzvi and ayil. And he's saying the same thing will be a bakar and some when you come to Eretz Yisrael and you have to do shechita. Okay, you'll have to have shechita like kachem, but it won't require the level of tahara like my kachem. But El Rabbi Shmuel, according to Rabbi Shmuel, tzvi v'ayil gufei mehabeshari? What's Moshe Rabbeinu telling them? What do you mean like the way you eat the tzvi and ayil now in the Midbar? They weren't able to eat any chayis, which are not karbanas. You could only eat a carbon. What does it mean that just like you're eating an impurity in the deer and the heart now? Says the Gemara, no. Kiyas Rachmana. When did the Torah, according to Rabbi Shmuel, make basa taiva, unconsecrated meat, forbidden to be eaten in the Midbar? That was only behema, the chazla krava. That was only domesticated animals that are fit to be brought as karbanas. And what's fit to be brought as carbon had to be brought as a carbon. But wild animals that are never brought as karbanas, the Torah didn't make it forbidden. And yes, they ate tzvi and ayil, and that's what he was telling them, that just like you're eating this now, you'll be able to eat that with other, even domesticated animals, once you come to Eretz Yisrael, that then this basa taiva is going to be permitted. Now the Gemara has a question relating to the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, but Rabbi Yirmiyah has asked the question, Evare basa nechira, the limbs of meat that was torn open. Not with shechita, but rather just by tearing it open from the nostrils and ripping open the pipes. Shechnisu Yisrael limon la'aretz. That the Jewish people brought with them, from when they came from the desert, in the 40 years, to Eretz Yisrael. Mao, what's the halacha? According to Rabbi Akiva, what's the halacha? Could they eat it even after they entered into Eretz Yisrael? What's the question? Do we say that when did the Torah say, again, according to Rabbi Akiva, that the bus in Nechira is going to be us once they come into Eretz Yisrael? That's only if they do that Nechira after they came into Eretz Yisrael and then they want to eat it. But those which are left over from when they were in the Midbar, since it was permitted for them, Nechira at that time, so then you're not going to make it forbidden anymore, even though they're already in Eretz Yisrael. Or maybe say, no difference, no. Now they're in Eretz Yisrael, I can't eat bus in Nechira anymore. Now Rashi points out, although that this point is, it doesn't any have any halachic relevancy because it's regarding what happened then, but we expounded it and we received a reward because we want to know the truth, even if it's something we read in the past, what actually would the halach have been? So the Gemara asks on the question, well, Amos, when are you talking about when they came into Eretz Yisrael? Elam b'shev shekavshir, if you mean right when they came into Eretz Yisrael, which are the first 7 years that they were conquering Eretz Yisrael, so ask the Gemara, what's the question? If even non-kosher food was forbidden, was permitted for them in those 7 years. Because the Pasuk says in Devarim, it says, that houses that were filled with all goodness, which you didn't fill up, and all these delicacies that were left over from the Canaanim and all those people, so the Pasuk says, that you'll eat and you'll be satiated. Which says, what did they find by the non-Jews that they conquered from? Were kasli dechaziri, which were the wools of the swines, meaning to say, when you dry up the swine, you get bacon, that even that they were eating in the 7 years that they conquered Eretz Yisrael. They were able to eat non-kosher. So basa nechir mebayis, so you have to ask if kosher meat that was done through this nechir, that you're asking if that was permitted, of course that was permitted. They were eating non-kosher for the 7 years. Ella, rather, says the Gemara, the question is la'achar mikan, regarding the 7 years afterwards, which is the 7 years of that they divided Eretz Yisrael, which then the Torah did not permit for them to eat non-kosher, only in the 7 years when they were looting Eretz Yisrael, like it says, that you'll eat the loot of the enemies, that was in 7 years that they conquered, because for 7 years they conquered and 7 years they divided, as the Gemara says in Erech Enaf, Yud Beis Mebeis. So that was the question, in those next 7 years, that they still had leftover meat from the times of the Midbar, would that have been able to be eaten? Or Vibaisim, if you want, you can say the question is, Loyal Meshevish Kafshir. No, the question is even in the 7 years that they were conquering. Because Kiyishtrulahu, when were they permitted to eat, let's say, even non kosher, even bacon? That was Shlal Shal Evdi Kachavim. That was only a permissibility, like the Pasuk says, that you're going to find all that goodness, all that delicious stuff, Ashalim Aleisi, that you didn't fill up. And like the Pasuk says, Ashlal Loyevecha, the loot of your enemies. But the two Loyishtri, but their own non kosher stuff, they weren't permitted to be eaten. And therefore the question is, okay, they couldn't eat non kosher, but did that bus in the chira that was permitted for them in the midbar that they brought into Eretz Yisrael, was that still permitted to be eaten or not? So the Gemara take a little stand. That's not clear what the halacha would have been. Now, Amar Rava, continuing on the question that we had started from the previous staff, which introduced this machlekes Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Akiva, because there was interpretation of Rabbi and Rav Yosef. What did the Mishnah mean when it says lo'il m'sheichetin? So Rava says, and the Girsa says Rava, but the Girsa says Rava. Shanisa, okay, so you taught, you explained so far of the words of the Mishnah, Hakol Sheichetin, that you explained that what does it mean, Hakol Sheichetin? You said it doesn't really mean, as the first words we have of this parak, which is the first word in the Masechta, that everyone slaughters. You explained it's not in the slaughterer, but in what's being slaughtered, in the Nishchat. You said everything needs to be slaughtered, meaning it's coming to tell us, in Hakol, that even a bird, even the fowl needs to be slaughtered, even though it doesn't say explicitly in the Torah. And then you explained, Ulaylam Sheichetin. You also explained, what does it mean, and a person always slaughters? You said that even though that the Jewish people had gone into exile, they didn't go back to what the state they were before they had entered in the first place, and that meat is only eaten if it's slaughtered. But ask Rava, Bakol Sheichetim my Meshanislay, what are you going to explain for the third statement of this enigmatic statement, that it, with everything we slaughter? As Rava explains. Chitam, and if you're going to say, oh, you know what that means? Bein b'tzor means whether with a flint, bein b'schuchas, whether with glass, bein b'krem shalkana, whether with a stalk of a reed, that it's not talking about what's slaughtered, but rather in what's slaughtering. And that's what's coming to include. Ba kol sheichten, that you could slaughter with everything. And that is Rava, but hadum yudahanach ketani. But it's comparing it to the other two. It's saying one statement. Hakol sheichten, lo'el m'sheichten, bakol sheichten. And that is, says Rabbi, you need some uniformity over here. Ihanach b'sheichtin, if those other two are talking about the slaughtering, zahainame b'sheichtin, so then you could say this third case is also about the slaughtering, which it is, like you're trying to say what you slaughter with. But v'ihanach b'nishchatin, but if you're telling me, as you would explain, that the first two things are in what's slaughtered, in the bird that's slaughtered, in the thing itself, in the subject, So Hainamim bin Ishchatan. So then this should also be in what's slaughtered, and yet you're not. What are you going to say with Bakol Sheikhtan? That's obviously in what's slaughtering and not being slaughtered. So Elamar Rabbi, rather Rabbi gives a different interpretation. And it says all three of these statements are talking about in Sheikhatin, in what's slaughtering, but not what's being slaughtered. And he explains. He says, Hakol Sheikhtan, it says two times in our parak, Hakol Sheikhtan. Once it says in our previous mission after Tezvam Beis, and once the opening words of our parak of our Masechta. So it says it's going in the slaughterer. Chadal asu yikuti. One's coming to include ekuti. Chadal asu Yisrael mum. And one's coming to exclude a renegade Jew, as we'd explained this sugi already enough Gimel and Alf, what we would thought have not, and that it is good. But it's coming to include that even though they have problems in other areas of halacha, but for slaughtering they're okay. You could have the kuti. You could have the renegade Jew slaughter. And that's again in the sheikhed, not in the nishchad. It's not that you're including a bird, but you're including these individuals that they could be slaughterers. When it says lo'elam sheikhedin, it's not talking about, like the Gemara previously said, to include Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva, Basra Taiva, Basra Nechira. That's in the subject. Rather, lo'elam sheikhedin, that you always slaughter, is talking about on the slaughterer, that he could slaughter bein by yoyim or bein by laila, whether in daytime, whether in nighttime, as we explained previously in the Gimel Beis, at nighttime is if there is a torch over there, there's some light that you could see. Moreover, it's including bein berish agag, whether he's slaughtering on the top of a roof, and that we're not concerned that people are going to say, oh, why is he going up to the roof? He must be slaughtering to the gods in the heaven and avodah zarah. No, that's okay too. Bein berish asvina, he could slaughter on the top of a boat, even though a Mishnah tells us later in the Mem Aleph and Mem Aleph that you're not to slaughter the blood into the seas, but in the top of a ship, it is permitted to slaughter into the seas because it's obvious that he's only doing because he doesn't want the ship to get dirty. So that's what we're saying, that lo'el m'shechetin, you could always slaughter no matter where you are. We're not concerned for people thinking that you're doing it something inappropriate like Ravai Dazar. And then, b'kol sheikhetin, now it makes sense that with everything we slaughter, again, it's also in the sheikhetin, is bein mitzur, bein mitzchuchas, bein mekrem shalkana, whether with a rock, whether with a glass, or whether with a stalk of a reed. So the Mishnah had said that, again, a person could always slaughter with anything. However, chutz, there are exceptions to what you could slaughter with. Mimagel katzer, from the harvesting sickle, the hamagera, and from a saw. Now, relating to these halachas, the Gemara explains that Avud Shmuel, the father of Shmuel, pagam, he took a knife, he made indentations, he banged it in different places, that different types of notches and nicks that weren't similar to the other ones. V'shadu, and he sent that knife to Eretz Yisrael, that they should tell him what is problematic, what is okay. So to Pogam Ashadr. And again, he made nicks and he sent it again. He did this two or three times to Eretz Yisrael to find out what was good, what was not good for a slaughtering knife. And Shalchali, they sent him, this should be a sign for you. You have all these questions regarding pigimis, regarding notches in the knife. The rule of thumb is, Kimigeri Shanino. We learned in our Mishnah, as we just quoted, what's problematic? Like a saw. What does it mean, like a saw? Which is that the pigimis, the indentations, are exacting in the depth that it goes in. And moreover, the indentation, like a V, has two edges. So that if, let's say, as the Chacham does, he takes his fingernail and he goes from the edge of the knife down to the top. So then when you're going down, your fingernail is going to get stuck in the okets of the top, meaning the point of, because it's jagged over there, it's coming out, it's not smooth. So if you're going from the top to the bottom, your fingernail is going to get stuck in the other because there's two edges. And when you're going one way, you're going to get stuck in one way, and then you're coming the other way, you're going to get stuck in the other way, so that's like a V. So that's what it's saying, that's a type of bagam that's problematic in a knife. As the Gemara is going to elaborate on that if there's only one, not two, which like a saw has that V, it's a V that's the problem, that creates a problem like a saw. So Tanya Bar Linda Brisa elaborates on this halacha, as we continue to Beis. Sakin Shiyesh B'Pegimus Harber. A knife that has many indentations, says the Brisa, then titin kimagir, then it's already qualified, it's judged like a saw. What that means to say, as we're going to shortly elaborate on, that means to say that if it has many pigimais, many notches, many nicks, then there's no difference if it's what's called a geris or mesuchseches, which, as we're going to explain, a geris means that it holds onto it because it has two sides, versus mesuchseches only has one side, again, in the nick. Because if it has many pigimis, even if all of them are all what's called mesuchseches, which again, mesuchseches, as we're going to shortly explain, is that when the pigima, when the indentation has only one ukitz, one point, because the other point again, unlike the V of the sword that we explained, is actually smoothed out, which actually the Gemara is going to later on explain that when there's only one pegima, we're talking about a case when there's many pegimas, but if let's say there's only one niche, one notch, that if let's say when you're slaughtering, you're only going and not doing a coming back move, and then the slaughtering is not going to be hitting the uketz when it gets to the simen, and we're going to elaborate on this because the Gemara is going to explain the case of when it only has one pegam that it actually is going to be kosher. If it's mesuchseches that it only has one uketz, one point coming out, and not two, not the V, is if let's say it's at the tip of the knife, so that when you're going down, the first thing that hits the skin of the neck is going to hit the uketz right away, but you didn't yet get to you're hitting first the hide and the flesh. You didn't yet get that the uketz is going to hit the actual pipes, which is the actual slaughtering when it's coming down. But here, that's what the Bryce is explaining. When there's many pegimas, many nicks, then even if they're all mesuchseches, even though they only have one side, doesn't have two sides that nick, that still it's going to be a problem because the first pegam's uketz that only has one point, when that hits the animal, it's going to weaken, it's going to pull already at the hide, the flesh. And then the time when it comes to the second pegam, that's already going to be hitting the simen, the pipes, and that it's going to tear. Because the uketz is going to be tearing and not cutting what you need to have. Now, although there's a mission on the next daf that says if someone slaughters with a harvesting sickle when he's just going, Basil says it's kosher, and the harvesting sickle also has more than one pegam. So Rashi explains there's a fundamental difference because a harvesting sickle, although that there's many pegimas, but it's an interesting shape, and that the pegimas are very much bent over, and if you're going just going down, it's not going to be tearing at all because the niches are so bent over that only if you were coming back, then you'd be pulling. But there's nothing pointy coming out at all if you're going one direction, even if you're going over all the pegimas. But in our case, that we're talking about the uketz, it's not bent over, then it would tear even on its way down, even though really you would think it's only when you're coming back, because the simen, even when it's coming down, is still going to go into the pegam and it's going to tear it. So therefore, the first halacha that Bryce is saying is that if there's many pegimas, even though really it shouldn't be a problem because it's only one uketz, as we're going to explain, this is what's called mesuchseches, and you're going one direction, which seemingly should not be hitting those uketzim, Rashi says it's still problematic. That way he explains the Bryce, and therefore it's going to be qualified as a sore, and it's going to be invalid. Now, but says the Bryce, of v'sheim ba'el pegima achas, but let's say there's only one nick on the knife. So then it depends. Oy geres, as we're going to shortly explain what this is, then pesula. Mesuchseches, then it's going to be ksher. What does this mean? Hechadami Egeris, what's the case of Egeris that's a problem? And Hechadami Mesuchseches, what's the case of Mesuchseches that if it's only one pegam, one nick, and that's Mesuchseches, then it's going to be kosher? So, man, the Gir says, Amr Belazer says, Egeris is Mishtei Ruches. What does that mean? It's like we were explaining this V, that pegam has two okatsim, two points, one at the top and one at the bottom of that V. Because the term of Egeris, like a Pasuk in Mishlei says, it's a term of gathering, where it would gather the fingernail inside of it between the two points, because if you put your fingernail in, you can't get out, you're stuck. You can't go forward or backwards because you're stuck inside. But let's say if it only has one side, you'd be stuck going one way, but the other way you would be able to keep on going. So if that one pegam is Egeris, that's problematic. Mesuchseches is Meruch Achas, but if it's Mesuchseches, which we said is Kasher, that if it's only on one side, meaning that pegam, that notch, that has only one uketz, one point, and the other point is actually smoothed out, and it's not Egeris, rather it's only Mesuchseches, which is like from the term Sichsuch, is like entangling, where it's like the fingernail or the hide and the flesh gets stuck inside, that would make the animal non-kosher, that would make it into Nevela, that didn't have a proper Shechita. However, in this halacha, the Braisa of the Gemara asks, Maishna Mishtei Ruches, why is it what we're calling Egeris, when we say when there's one pegam, when it's two sides, this V, that then we said the shechit is going to be puzzle. Why? Because there's two stages. The murshe kama machlish, because the first nick, the first uketz, in this one notch, in this one pegam, there's two points. So the first point is going to be weakening, it's going to be sticking into the hide and to the flesh before the second point. then Umur Shabbas Rabaza. Then the second point is going to come and hit the Simanim and tear it. And that's why it's going to become a Trefa, if it has a V. Ask the Gemara, but Meruah Chachas Nami, even if it has only on one side, one Uketz, one point, still, Churfa Disakina, the sharpness of the blade before it even gets to the Begam. Let's say this Begam is the middle of the knife. So you're cutting, so what gets the flesh and the hide is the sharpness of the blade. That's going to be machlish. That's going to be weakening. That's going to be cutting into the flesh. Mursha baza. But then, could be that once you're up to the simanim, it's going to be the ukitz that's going to be ripping the simon and not cutting it. Because all the, whenever you have a ukitz of a pagam, I mean, it's not smooth there, it tears, it doesn't cut. So the question is, that whether, as Rashi goes in to explain, whether if it's hitting it or whether if it's on its way down, meaning even if it's in the other direction really, that ukitz, Rashi explains, and he wants to prove this halacha, because we learned that, as we were elaborating on the first line of the Gemara in this Amid, that the Brisa said that a knife that has many pegimos has halacha like a megera, as Rashi explained, that's even when they're all mesuchseches. And the proof of that is because from the fact that what we said when there's one pagam, the Brisa differentiates if it's Igeris or Mesuchseches, but when there was many pagamas it didn't differentiate, obviously it's coming to tell us that even if all the ukotzim of the Mesuchseches, it only has only one point, it could be one direction, and it might not even go towards the top of the knife, and you're going and you're not even coming back, obviously still what's called, you read the, would still tear it even though it's not that direction. So therefore, the question is here too, no matter which direction that one point is, that by the time you get there, then the sharpness of the blade might have already cut the skin. And then when you're up to the simen, it might be tearing it, that one ukitz, and therefore why is it any different than when you have two ukatsim? So two ukatsim, the ukitz itself, the first one tears the flesh, and then the second one tears the pipe. But then even when there's one ukitz, the knife itself will cut the flesh. And then the one ukitz will then tear the pipe, and which should also make it into the nevela. Says the Gemara, as we had mentioned this before, Dukoim Aresha Disakina. We're talking about where, yes, here where it's okay with Mesuchseches, when there's one pagam, is that one pagam with its one ukitz is on the point of the knife. So that when he's starting to go forward in this cutting movement of the Shechita, there wasn't any ability yet for the knife to weaken the flesh until it passed the area where the pagam was already, because the pagam's on the tip of the knife where you're going into. So therefore, there's no doubt that when the ukitz touched the animal, that it would be by the simen, because it's only by the flesh part. And that's why, if you have the oigeres, so even on the tip, the first thing tears the skin, the second thing tears the pipe. But here we have only one ukitz, it's right there on the top, the only thing it could have gotten was the flesh and not the pipe, and that's why it's going to be kashya. But the Gemara still asks, okay, you explain why it's not a problem on the going movement. But saif at the end, ki azla, machashla, but when you went in the moving forward action, so that already weakened the skin. Ki asa baza, when you're coming back, that's going to tear the pipe. Because generally, that's a shechita is, you go forward and you go back. Says the Gemara, you're right, the case that we're saying is kashya in the Braisa, must be talking about that you went forward and not back, which there are certain exceptions that you don't have to go back, forward and backwards, like when the knife is very long, that you could go with just a forward motion. And that's the case that the Braisa has to be talking about. Now Amar Rava, he qualifies and he says, Gimel Midas Pesachin. There are three different measurements regarding a knife, regarding this halacha of the smoothness, the pegam, in a knife. So Oigeris, like we said, that if it's like a saw, if it has two ukatz and has this V shape, then lo yishchad. You're not allowed to slaughter with that. M'shachat shechitas psul, if you slaughter, it's going to be invalid because we generally have to assume that it's going to, the first ukatz is going to tear the skin, second one's going to tear the pipe. That's not a valid shechita. M'suchseches, if it has only one ukatz, like we said, that it's not like a saw, it has only one side, and then it goes smooth, it doesn't have up and down. So then says Rabba, lo yishchad b'liketchila, initially you're not a slaughter with it, but v'mshachat shechitas k'shera, but if you did slaughter with it, it's going to be valid, like we had explained before, because we're talking about where this one ukitz, this misuchseches, is at the top of the knife, and we're talking about that you're only going with a forward motion and not a backward motion. But still, Rabba was saying, initially you're not a slaughter with it, because you might go forward and backwards, and then you're going to be making it into a nevela. The third case, the third type, is oilav yored besaken, a knife that goes up and down. For example, if let's say it had a huge nick in it, a huge pegam, but then they went and they smoothed out that there's no more sharp points sticking out of those indentations. But still, it goes lower now because of where the nick was. So it like goes up and down, but there's no sharp points coming out of it. Says Rabbi Sheikh Balak Tchila, that even initially lot of slowerific is not going to tear out the pipe. It's going to be slaughtering it, albeit it's not a straight knife. Now, Amali Rav Huna B'Ridim Nechemel Ravashi says, I have a question for you. Amrit Lan Mishmeid the Rabbi, you had told us in the name of Rabbi that Mesuchsech is Psula, that if it's Mesuchsech is again which has one Uket, it's going to be puzzled even after the fact, even with the Yevid. But Vama Rava, as we just quoted before, Mesuchsech is Ksher, it says that it is Kasher. So now he answers, like Kasher, it's not difficulty. As we've been explaining, Kasher Hailech Vehevi. When did he say it's possible even with the Yevid? If you went forward and backwards, so although it has only one point and it's not going to be able to get there, but that's forward, if you're coming back, then they might tear out the pipes. That's possible. Kansha ha'ilech v'lahevi. When did he say it's kosher? You went only forward and not backwards. Now, Amalei Ravacha b'reid Ravavil Ravashi says, Dami l'sasamai. What's a loch if a knife is compared to the top of a wheat stalk, which is not so smooth? So in other words, if you have a knife that its edge is not so smooth, but there's no pagam, there's no indentation, there's no sharp points coming out, but it's just not so smooth. So Amalei said to him, Manyov len mibibsari vachlin, who would give us from that meat? And we would eat it, meaning bring it on, we would eat it. That's not a problem, that wouldn't make it into a nevela. Continues the Gemara, Amrav Chizdim, inayin lebedikas sakam in haTorah. Where do we know that from the Torah that there's an obligation to inspect a knife before you slaughter with it? Says the Gemara, Shnem, like it says a pasuk in Shmuel Aleph. Says, Ushchatetem bezeh vachaltem. That Shaul told them that you should slaughter with this and eat it. Well, what do you mean with this? Obviously he had taken the knife and checked it and inspected it and says, here, take this knife and slaughter with it because you have to inspect the knife beforehand. Now, so the Gemara asks, Pshita, obviously, why do you need the source? Kiven the chinokav, since if you're going to make a hole in the esophagus, trefa, it's going to make the animal into a non-kosher animal. So obviously the baybedika, obviously you have to inspect it because if it has a begam, it's going to make a hole in the esophagus and it's going to make it into a non-kosher animal, meaning not a valid shechita. So obviously you have to check that. What do you need this source for? Says the Gemara, no, that of course we know, that's a svara. But l'chacham kamina, the source we were bringing was that you have to show it to a sage. That's what we're proving from over here. Where Shaul, the Gadol Hadar, had checked it. But that is the Gemara. But Vamer B'Yechanan, he had said that's not a pasuk. He had said, he says this, that we didn't say that you have to show the knife to the sage of the city. That's only because of the honor of the sage. So how can you say that we're learning it from a pasuk? So the Gemara, no, you're right. Midrabanan, really, it's rabbinic, like Rabbi Yechanan said. The pasuk is just an allusion to that rabbinic law, but you're right, that's not the real source. It's just an allusion to that, but it's really rabbinic law, like Rabbi Yechanan said. Now, continuing on these halachas of the obligation to inspect the knife beforehand, b'marava badkilo b'shimshon, the West, in Eretz Yisrael, they would inspect the knife with the sun, meaning they would place it in the sun, and they would look at the sharpness of the blade to see if it's perfectly smooth. That's one interpretation. Another interpretation is that they would put it by the sun with its blade on facing upward and would look in the shade, the shadow of the knife. If there was a begam in the knife, you would be able to tell in the shadow because the sun enters into the begam and you would see that it wouldn't be a perfect shadow of the knife, then they would know that there's a begam. Binarda and arda, but kula b'maya, they would inspect it with water, which what they would do is they would take the blade facing downward, and they would go and move it on the surface of the water, and they would touch the water a little bit. If there's a pagam of a uketz, of a point coming out, it would make different types of indentations in the water as the movement of the water went, and then they knew there was a pagam. Or another interpretation is that they actually had the blade facing upward, and he would hold it in his hand on a slant, which with its head facing downward, and he would drop a drop of water on the edge with his finger. If there's a begam on the knife, then it would fall into that indentation and it wouldn't continually to drip down to the top of the knife, and then they knew there was a begam. Now, Rav Sheshes, Badik L'Bereish Lishnei. Rav Sheshes would inspect it at the tip of his tongue. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, Badik L'Bechut Asai, he would check it with a hair strand, which you take the hair and you take it against the whole knife, and if it gets stuck, then you know there's a begam. Besur Amri and Sur, they said that Bistra Achla, it consumes meat, meaning the knife is coming to cut meat. So therefore, bistra love to cut. So then you have to check it. The primary checking of it has to then be in flesh too. So therefore, either at the tip of a tongue or at the tip of a finger. Because if this meat gets stuck in the begam, so then it's going to get stuck also in the simen, in the pipes of the flesh of the animal. But that's why it has to be specifically flesh that you check it with, but something else is not going to be appropriate bedika. Because if you're going to take something hard, so then it might go over this small little pagam and not get stuck, but meat, flesh might have gotten stuck. Or if you use something that's too soft, that's also a problem because it's going to go into the small pagam, even though that wouldn't be enough of a pagam to be makalkal the simen, because this is too soft, so that's why it's getting stuck. But maybe it's too soft for skin. So there has to be something just like basar. You have to use the basar of a person. Now, Amar Papa, he says, Tzricha Bedika, the inspection of the knife requires abisra. You have to check it on flesh, like we said, like the flesh of the finger. Va'atuf, it also requires to be checked with the fingernail, which as Tesa says, the flesh is because of the veshet, of the esophagus, which is fleshy-like. The fingernail is because of the cut of the trachea, which is more like the texture of the fingernail. And those two things are cut, so therefore those two things you have to check, would this go ahead and be pagam for those two pipes of the animal. Addition, besides the flesh of the fingernail and the fingernail, the flesh of the finger and the fingernail, also it requires vatlasa ruchasa, requires on the three sides of the knife, meaning on the tip of the blade and the two sides of the blade. Because maybe the thickness of the blade is going to get stuck on the side of the pipes and it's going to get stuck in the pipe and of the ukits, and it's going to tear it, so you have to check it not only in the tip of the blade, but also the sides of the blade too. Now, Amalei Ravina Ravashi, he says, Amalon Rav Saf, Rav Sama, Bered Rav Masharshi Mishmecha. Ravina said to Ravashi that Rav Sama, the son of Rav Masharshi, told us in your name, to Amrit Le Mishmei de Rava, that you told him in the name of Rava, which as Rashi points out, whenever it says in the name of someone else, it's not that he heard from that person, but rather he heard from others who received tradition from that person, because this was, he was saying that Ravashi had said over in the name of Rava. Ravashi didn't hear anything from Rava at all, like the Gemara says in Kedushin of Ayin Beis and Mabeis. The day that Rava passed away was the day that Ravashi was born. But that you had said over that you had heard in the name of Rava, that Tzricha Bedika Abisra, that the knife needs to be inspected with the flesh, Vatufra and the fingernail, Vatlas Ruchasa, and on the three sides of the knife. So Malays, Ravashi said to him, Abisra Vatufra Amri. What I did say was, has to be inspected with the flesh and on the fingernail. But I didn't say in the name of Rava that it has to be checked on all three sides. Or you could tell me that those that say that what he told them was, yes, I told them that has to be checked with the flesh, the fingernail, and the three sides. But I didn't tell them that that was in the name of Rava. Mer continues and tells Ravina, Ravacha Bered Rava, Havayasvi Kamed Ravashi, was sitting in front of Ravashi. So they brought it to the Chacham of the city. They brought a knife in front of Ravashi to inspect it. So Amalela Ravacha Bered Rava. So he said to Ravacha Bered Rava, who was sitting in front of him, he says, Bitka, you checked the knife. So Batki checked it at Tufra, on his fingernail, Labistra, and on the flesh of his finger, Batlas Ruchasa, and on the three sides. And Amalei said to him, Oh, Yisha, you should be strengthened, meaning you did very well. V'chin Ravkana, so Ravkana says that that's what it requires, those three things, the flesh, the fingernail, and all three sides. Rav Yemer Amar, however, he says, a tufra v'abistra tzricha. It requires the fingernail and the flesh, but a tlas ruchasa le'tzricha, he says, it doesn't require to be on all three sides. Because if there is a pagam on the side of the knife, that wouldn't bother us. Because the sides of the knife don't end up touching the simanim, the pipes of the animal. Because once you're cutting, the first thing that touches the animal is the tip of the blade, meaning the blade itself. So once it's cutting the knife, it opens up the area of the simon and it starts widening, and therefore the sides of the blade never touch the simon. So we have no problem if there's a ukitz over there. As he proves, he says, Mila Amr Reb Zeira Amr Shmuel, as we quoted this halacha on the previous daf, on daf Ches Amud Aleph, he said that, Liben Sakin Meshachet, if someone heats up a knife and he slaughters with it, Shechita Sikshera, it's going to be a valid slaughtering. Why? Even though it's so hot, it's going to burn the simen, which would be like a simen tarfis, it would invalidate the animal. Because shechidu the kadim lelibuna, because he said the sharpness of the blade is what gets to the simen before the heat of the blade. So before the simen gets burnt by the fact that it's burning hot, it first gets cut with the sharpness of the blade. So it's being slaughtered, not being burnt. But for kashlan, we had asked, but there's the sides of the knife, which is not as sharp, and that's going to burn the sides of the knife before the shechita gets finished, and that's going to create a simen of tarfus in the animal, because that means the esophagus is getting burned before it's totally slaughtered. And Barmina, we had said, no, it's not a problem, because beis shechita meravach ravach. The places where you're being slaughtered is widens as the knife cuts in, so the sides of the blade are not going to be burning the simen because it's not even touching it. So Achanami says, Rabbi Yemer, here also, Beisashchit meravach ravach, the sides are opening up, and therefore, even if there's a nekev on the side, there's a pagam, it's not a problem, it wouldn't make it a psul in the animal, therefore he says you don't have to check the sides of the knife. But says Rashi, in spite of that, the halacha is like Ravach, Rav Kahana, Rav Ashi, and all the Meram that require that you have to check it on the flesh, and the fingernail, and all three sides. And he says Rashi, if one forgets to do that, and you didn't check that before it was slaughtered, then you would have to check it after the slaughter. Now, Amar Rav Huna bar Rav Katina, Amar Rav Shimon ben Lakish, he says, Shalish Pagimasein. There are three things that have a pagam that have the same measurement for their halachic problem. What are these three areas of halacha? Pagimas etzim bepesach, regarding making a dent in the bone of a Korban Pesach, which would violate the negative prohibition of etzim leisish b'ruboy, you're not allowed to break a bone of the Korban Pesach, which we're saying what's considered a break. Even a small dent, a small chip, that's already a pagam, that would be already breaking the bone of a Korban Pesach. So to pagimas oizin bebechar, nicking the ear of a firstborn animal to make it that it's considered a blemish, to be allowed to slaughter it outside of the Beis HaMikdash, outside of the Hazaras, the Mishnah teaches in Bechairis that if the ear gets nicked in the fleshy part, it's already considered mum, and already you don't bring it as a carbon, you can already make it as your own slaughtering. As Rashi points out, it's not just the ear of the Bechair, it would be all the blemishes that are mentioned there by the male animal of the Bechair. It's just, it picks the first case that I mentioned over there, which is the ear. And the third case is Pegimas Mum Bekadshim, regarding a female animal. If there's a pagam in the animal, a blemish of kachim, like for example a karma chatas or karma shlamim, where if there's a pagima, which the reason why we're mentioning this as different as a bachar, although that's also kachim, because we're talking about female animals, which doesn't apply by a bachar, which, as the Mishnah teaches in Bechairis of Lamtesim and Beis, that there's cases that apply of a pagam specifically like by bachar, and then there are those that are specifically by female animals that we're talking about over here by kachim, like by a female chatas or shlamim, which is specifically feminine in the sense of the genital area of the female animal, that those are also going to be considered pagimis. They all share, these three halachas share the same amount of what's considered a pagam. Now Rashi points out the reason why we bring this over here is to tell us that even though it's not even so recognizable, this dent in the bone or in the animal, even so, the measurement, as we're going to shortly explain, is that if a fingernail would get stuck in it, that's already considered pagam. That would really consider, if there's that nick by the genital area of that female animal, would be considered pagam in it being a carbon and being kachim. Now Rashi asks, why did it have to say for these three cases, both that of the bechor and of the kachim, why didn't it just say pagimas mum bekachim, which would include even the second case of the bechor, because bechor is also included in kachim. So that says Rashi, had it said only the third case, not the second case, I would have thought to say that yes, just like all kachim, including chatas and shlam, so too a bechor would be invalidated from being brought as a carbon once the fingernail gets stuck in it. But it wouldn't be considered a full-fledged bona fide mum to say that you could even now use it and slaughter it out of the Beis HaMikdash, out of the Hazar, because as Rashi points out, there are many blemishes in the bechor that invalidate the animal from being brought as a carbon, but doesn't allow it to be slaughtered for like chulin purposes out of the Beis HaMikdash. As the Mishnah there teaches in Bechairis, that Mem Alef, that there are certain cases that you cannot slaughter on them, not anymore in the Beis HaMikdash, but not yet in the Medina, in Yerushalayim. So that's why we have to say Pegimas Eizim Bebechair, which is mentioned in the Bechairis, regarding those cases that are even permit you to go ahead and slaughter it in the Medina, to say that once it has this pagam, well again, not only already invalidated from being brought as a carbon, but that it even permits it to be slaughtered, what's called Medina in Yerushalayim, outside of the Hazar. Now, Rav Chizdama, he adds on a fourth case, Af Pegimasakin, that also shares this share of these three things, also the nick and the knife also shares the same share for a pagam. Now, V'idach, why didn't Rav Huna Rav Katina and name of Shimon Lakish say the case of Pegimasakin, like we're discussing in our sugya, because Bechun Lekamai wasn't talking about unconsecrated things like a regular shechita knife. He's talking about things relating to kachim, carbon pesach, bechair, and other karbanas. Now, V'kulan, and all of these three things or four things, pegimasin, what's considered a pegam, a dent, is kedei pegimas hamizbech, is like the shear of invalidation of when the altar has a pegam. Because when the mizbech has a pegam, or has a dent, it's invalidated. As the Gemara says in Zvachim, Nun Tesem and Av, it says in the Pasuk, Bezavachta olav es oil secha v'shlamech, you'll slaughter on the mizbech, your karbanas oil en shlam. And the question the Gemara says over there is, you don't slaughter on top of the mizbech. Rather, what does it mean on it? It means because of it. Meaning when it's in its original state, meaning that it's whole, that's when you could slaughter karbanos, but not when it's lacking. So when there's a pagam on the mizbeach, that's pasul, and that's the same shear for these three or four things. It also has the same shear. And continues the Gemara on top of Yitzchesim and Alpha, Kama Pekin, Kimis and Mizbeach, what's considered a dent in the altar that invalidates it, and so too will have the same share for these four halachas, is Kadesh Latach, Kerbat Sipar, and if you'll go over with a fingernail and you get stuck, that's considered Begam in these areas of halacha. Now, Meisvei, however, the Gemara asked on this from the following Braisa, Kama Pekin, and Mizbeach, says the Braisa, what's considered Begam in the Mizbeach? Rishim ben Yechoyam, he says Tefach, Rabbi Loz ben Yaakov, he says Kizayis, which these are all bigger than just a fingernail. So how could we say it's a fingernail? So the Gemara, Lekash, it's not difficult. Ha besida. The Braisa here is talking about in the lime, which is what's used to hold the stones together. That is the shear of either Tefach or Kezias. Ha ba'avna. What we were saying was in the stone itself. That's even a minute amount. If a fingernail goes over and gets stuck, that's already going to be considered invalidation because the Pasuk says avanim shleimus. They have to be whole stones. So it's not whole once already you feel even with a fingernail. That's the shirim begam mizbeach we were talking about, and that's halacha in these three, four halachas, which specifically we're talking about in the halachas of chulin. That's why we do not just with the flesh, we do with the fingernail. That would be considered begam in the sakin that we use in regards to slaughtering an animal.